This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Did I put the clothes in the dryer?
I hope they don't think I was serious. I need to
be awake. Snacks.
I have my brain shut
just
off.
Sleep already.
When your racing thoughts keep you up at night, it's tough to let go and get the rest you need. Better sleep can help. You might have heard of white or brown noise, but there's a whole rainbow of color noises, and they can help you calm your mind, reduce stress, and sleep better. Like the green noise you're listening to now. With the Better Sleep app, you can discover more color noises and over 200 soothing sounds, guided meditations, and bedtime stories. High-quality rest is vital to your mental well-being and physical health. Calm your restless mind, conquer your day, and sleep better at night. Download Better Sleep from the App Store or Google Play and start a 7-day trial today. Because when you sleep better, you feel better.
The True Crime Society podcast contains adult themes and violence and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. And if you'd like to skip the intro or move to any specific part of the podcast, please refer to the timestamps listed in the episode description. Thank you. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the True Crime Society podcast with Stephanie and Olivia. It is June 19th, 2025 right now. I do have my air conditioner on, so I'm sorry if you can hear it, but it's very hot and disgusting. Yeah, so hopefully the recording doesn't pick it up. I tried to make like a pillow blockade like in front of the microphone to block the sound a little, but who knows? But yeah, it's very hot, disgusting here, like rainforest, humid, which I know I've been complaining about how it's been so cold, but it's now just hot and rainy instead of cold and rainy.
Freezing cold here. I had ice on my windscreen. It's like, I know it's winter, so everyone's like, shut up, it's winter. It's extra, extra cold. Like, it's way colder than it usually is. Like, Monday, Tuesday, next week, it goes back up. So I know it's probably some Antarctic freeze blast or something again. But
there's always something crazy going on.
I just feel like crazy is the new normal. There's no normal anymore. Like, crazy is the new normal.
We're gonna come out of it, and like never chill.
No. And even like, I don't know if you know the saying, like, it's everything's just a season. Like, everything, nothing lasts, which is actually probably true. But you know, you'd be like, oh, it's fine, it'll go back to normal soon. No. Every season is a season, but then it's a new season. It never goes back to how it was.
And there's never like a chill season. It's just always like chaos and barely surviving, I feel like.
Our last episode about Jennifer Kessie has just been released. I went through all the comments this morning. We did have one comment from someone saying the audio is still messed up. This seems to be a really super annoying Spotify glitch. Basically, all you've got to do is totally shut down the app, like on your iPhone, swipe up and shut it. Just basically get out of the app, shut it down. And when you go back into it, it should fix it. Like, pretty much everyone who has done that, it's worked for. We did have one person say the audio was messed up on another platform, so we're just waiting to hear about that. But it is a general Spotify glitch, we think. And someone else said they knew or heard on another podcast it's also happening to them. So if this does sound strange, shut down the app, come back in. Hopefully that should be working, and hopefully they get it fixed soon.
Yeah, and if you're on a different app and it sounds off, make sure that your speed is at the right speed, because sometimes I know that gets messed up too.
Yeah, I feel like that's also probably about 95. If we ever had 95% of any other comments we've ever had in the past, like, what happened? You guys sound really strange this week. And I'm like, did you just check your speed settings? I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, that's it.
It's easy to hit on Spotify, especially like when you're skipping ahead the 15 seconds or whatever. The speed's right near there too, so it's like easy to hit it by accident. I've done it myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into what we're talking about. Well, first we have an update. Speaking of chaos and crazy times, the Karen Reed, John O'Keefe murder trial has come to an end for the second time, but this time a real end. Yeah. She was found not guilty of the murder of John O'Keefe, which I think a lot of people are pleased with that verdict. A lot of people either felt like she totally didn't do it, that there was a cover-up, or that they at least just did not have enough evidence to be convicting her of murder.
Too much doubt.
I'm always been in the camp of I don't really think she did it. I definitely don't think they had enough evidence to prove it.
Yeah, I feel like this is one case. We covered this case in May 2023, so we did have an episode on it. I feel like it was before the first trial even. It was just maybe when the trial was about to start. Mm-hmm. But it was basically about the case and what happened. But I feel like out of all the years we've been doing this, this is probably the case where the people have been the meanest and most hateful. I guess it's just maybe a passionate thing where people are passionate about the case and they have strong beliefs, which is fine. But we've posted about this case a few times and we've probably posted about it less than I would have liked because people are just angry. Like, people are mean and angry and will write comments like, you're ridiculous, you're dumb, you don't know what you're talking about. When all we do generally is share articles.
An article?
I know in our episodes we'll talk about theories sometimes and what we think happened in a case, but I'm just talking about literally sharing an article from a mainstream media news source about this case, and the hate messages we get were wild. So,
and no matter you'll get just hate messages from all over. It's really kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. And like, people have asked if we were going to do another Karen Reed episode. My answer,
absolutely not.
Personally, is probably not, just because why would we when people are just so crazy about this case? So I figured
much has changed. It's like they did the same thing twice, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, like, we've had messages from locals in the area saying like it's just basically taken everyone by storm. Someone sent a photo of their local bar and they had like a chalkboard thing out the front saying, are you waiting for the verdict like we are? Like, obviously it was such
a big
thing in the
local community. It became like a sporting
event. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I would say no, unless something dramatic happens, we will not be doing a Karen Reed episode. This is our probably final update on the case.
Yeah, and that's what you all get for, not you guys, because you guys are not like that. That's what people get for behaving so badly and rudely. Like, if people are going to be rude to us, we're not going to cover the case.
Yeah, why would we
waste our
time?
But it's just the true crime community, if that's what you want to call it, sometimes can just be so like ridiculous and unhinged.
Yeah.
So that's why we haven't posted about it a ton. But anyways, so let me just get into the actual like information. So she was found not guilty of second degree murder of her boyfriend, John O'Keefe, in 2022. She'd been accused of hitting him with her vehicle and leaving him to die. The jury also found her not guilty of vehicular manslaughter while intoxicated and leaving the scene of the collision in January 2022. But she was convicted of operating a vehicle under the influence of alcohol, which I'm pretty sure she just like admitted to. She said in a brief statement that no one has fought harder for justice for John O'Keefe than I have. Prosecutors and Karen's attorneys agreed to a 1-year probation order for the intoxication charge. It means that she will avoid any prison time.
We did an Instagram poll before the verdict and we asked what people thought the outcome of the trial should be, not what they thought it was going to be, but what they thought it should be if it was going to be different. 72% of people said not guilty, 21% said guilty, and 7% said they thought it should be mistrial or some other outcome. And then we also asked what people thought the outcome was going to be. And they said 60% said not guilty, 17% said guilty, and 23% thought it was going to be a mistrial. I did think it was probably heading down the mistrial hung jury path after the jury, because I think the jury ended up deliberating for, 21 hours. Like, there were basically 3 days of deliberations. But thankfully, they didn't. This can all now hopefully be put to rest.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows with the chaos of the world these days?
Yeah.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Did I put the clothes in the dryer?
I hope they don't think I was serious about that.
I need to be awake in 3 hours.
I've got my brain shut off.
Just sleep already.
When your racing thoughts keep you up at night, it's tough to let go and get the rest you need. Better sleep can help. You might have heard of white or brown noise. There's a whole rainbow of color noises, and they can help you calm your mind, reduce stress, and sleep better, like the green noise you're listening to now. With the Better Sleep app, you can discover more color noises and over 200 soothing sounds, guided meditations, and bedtime stories. High-quality rest is vital to your mental well-being and physical health. Calm your restless mind, conquer your day, and sleep better at night. Download Better Sleep from the App Store or Google Play and start a 7-day trial today. Because when you sleep better, you feel better.
Okay, so we'll get into the case we're talking about today. We're going to be talking about Lily James, who was a 20-year-old woman who was a student, and she was also working as a water polo coach at St. Andrew's Cathedral School in Sydney, Australia, but she was murdered in October 2023 by, a co-worker. He was a 24-year-old named Paul Tyson, who also worked at the school, and they had been dating for a few weeks prior to her murder, but had broken up, and he was not dealing with the breakup very well. And Shout out to our Patreon subscriber, Haley, for suggesting this case to us to cover.
He stalked her for days and even rehearsed how he was going to kill her. Today, a court heard some chilling new details of how young sports coach Lily James was murdered at the prestigious St. Andrew's Cathedral School by a colleague in the heart of the CBD.
They have already endured the agony of their daughter's murder. Today, Jamie and Peter James had to sit in court and listen to the gut-wrenching details of how 21-year-old Lily's killing was carefully planned by the man she'd been seeing, Paul Tyson. Paul stalked Lily, the court heard. In the hours before the attack, he rehearsed the attack, making a number of dry runs. In a bathroom at St. Andrew's Cathedral School, where they both worked, he used a hammer to inflict blunt force trauma to her head. It was not a momentary loss of control. It was a premeditated killing, said counsel assisting the coroner. The killing itself was overkill. Lily and Paul were colleagues at the school and in a casual relationship, but Lily decided to break it off, spending more time with an ex. The court was played security video from 2 days before the murder, showing Paul inside Mitre 10 in the CBD, testing out hammers before buying one along with duct tape. Detectives also tracked him, hiring a go-get car 7 times over 4 days, driving to Lily's home, jealously photographing other cars parked outside. The court was also played video that counsel assisting described as chilling and disturbing, showing Tyson in full view of students in a classroom practicing barging into the very bathroom where he eventually took Lily's life and using a closed for cleaning sign to lure her into the cubicle he'd chosen.
So Lily was born in May 2002. Her parents are Jamie and Peter James, and she has a brother named Max as well. The family live in
Sanssouci,
New South Wales, a suburb in southern Sydney. Lily attended the Danebank Anglican School for Girls in Hurstville, and she graduated from there in 2020. She was a champion swimmer, and she won many events. She went on to study a Bachelor of Management in Sports Business at the University of Technology, Sydney, in 2021.
Yeah. So that's actually the same university that I went to. I did a Bachelor of Business, so a little bit different to her, but this is quite like, I know exactly the school where this all happened. It's, the school is right in the center of Sydney. It's literally next to the town hall. So it's right in Sydney CBD. I feel like a lot of Australians will be familiar with the area. But yeah, so she was, it's yeah, relatively local to me.
So Lily was employed by St. Andrew's Cathedral School as the water polo coach while she was studying. St. Andrew's is an Anglican school catering to the children from kindergarten to year 12, and there's about 1,450 students at the school.
Yeah, so the school is in a, like quite a historic building. It's a, like a basically a private school. I had a look at the fee schedule. For kindergarten, you'll pay around $25,000 a year per child, and it goes up to year 12, which is the last year, and that is around $42,000. So a very expensive school. But basically, yeah, so it encompasses the whole range. So I hear you can have primary school and high school, but this is a school that encompasses kids aged from basically 4 or 5 up to 18. So yeah, a very, it's an elite school, lots of great resources. Obviously they have a water polo team, you know, I guess a very highly sought after school.
So now I'll talk a little bit about Paul. He was born in the Netherlands in November 1999 to parents Esther and Stefan Tyson. He was their only child. The family lived in the Netherlands for the first 15 years of Paul's life. They then moved to Sydney in 2015, and Paul enrolled in St. Andrew's Cathedral School, entering year or grade 10. After he graduated from St. Andrew's, he went back to the Netherlands to attend university, and he returned to Sydney in 2020, where he got a job as a sports assistant. He returned again to the Netherlands in July 2021 to complete his studies, and at the time was in a relationship with another young Australian girl named Freya, who stayed behind. Freya has since spoken out about how controlling Paul was. The court was told by an attorney after Lily's death, and this is a quote, early on in their relationship, Paul wanted Freya to share her iPhone location with him. She was unwilling to do this, but agreed. She occasionally turned it off, and she said Paul would blow up at her about this. Freya made a booklet for Paul to celebrate their 4-month anniversary, and she titled it Paul and Freya's Week. Freya has said that she found the relationship suffocating. When they were apart, Paul would send her unwanted food via Uber Eats. Freya once changed her social media profile pic to one without Paul, and he called her furious. She was so concerned by his actions that she blocked him on social media, but he hacked into her social media accounts. He then showed up unannounced at her church. And while sitting in a park, Freya told him that she was breaking off their relationship, which prompted Paul to punch a tree. The court was later told that when at Peep, oh my God, shut up. Peep, come here, come sit. The court was later told that when asked why he struck out, he responded, because I can't punch the one thing I want to, which I'm assuming meant her.
Yeah, that's what I would assume.
Over the next 2 days, Paul was seen outside Freya's house, including when she caught him peering inside at 6:25 in the morning. Freya's father threatened to take out an AVO against him and warned him to stay away.
Just one thing that I wanted to add in this, it seems a little bit confusing because Paul did come and go a lot between Australia and the Netherlands. So I know that like he said that he was still in the relationship with Freya when he went back to the Netherlands. He did come back at one point, and that's obviously when he went to her house and stalked her and things like that. So there is kind of a lot of coming and going. Some of their relationship was long distance, but he did eventually come back to Australia, and then that's when they broke up and her dad threatened him.
Paul returned to Sydney again in 2023. He told his parents that he was studying a master's. Oh my God. Keep. Enough. Paul returned to Sydney again in 2023. He told his parents that he was studying a master's of teaching at Sydney University. His parents had agreed to pay his tuition. However, his plans to study were all a lie. He also lied to his friends and pretended he was studying and doing uni work. But police would later investigate and found that there were no records of enrollment for Paul at any university in Sydney.
When I was doing these notes, it does remind me so much of the Grace Mullane and Jesse Kempson case. It reminds me of the Gable Tosti case, which we haven't really covered. But basically, these guys just lie to control the narrative, or to try and control the narrative, make people believe what they want. But yeah, reminds me very much so of that one that we covered recently.
Yeah, they like lie and lie and lie, and then lie to cover up the lies, and lie to cover up the lies that are covering up the other lies. It's ridiculous.
And then when they can't control it anymore, that's when they snap.
Murder.
Yeah.
Paul also forged a letter of reference from St. Andrew's Cathedral School, which was provided to the Department of Home Affairs when applying to extend his working visa. The letter exaggerated how he had worked at the school as well as his duties as an after-hours coordinator. He returned to Australia several times, and each time he had been granted a working holiday visa. And this can only be granted 3 times to an individual. And at the time of the murder, of course, he was on his 3rd and last visa. Lily and Paul met via their employment at St. Andrews, and they began dating in mid to late August 2023. Lily ended their relationship on Friday, October 20th, 2023, after she told Paul that she wanted to break up. He asked if they could still be friends with benefits, and she said no. On Saturday, October 21st, so the next day, Paul rented a car from GoGet and drove to her house. He drove to the property between 9:55 p.m. and 10:55 p.m. The police would later find photos taken that night on his phone. They included photos of cars parked outside the James family home, some with annotations such as outside house with brother's car, and car on other side. Over the next 4 days, he would stalk Lily on a total of 7 occasions. Seemed like he was kind of like staking out the house, taking notes on who was there, what was what, which is very creepy.
I just feel like too unsettling. Like, they literally dated for maybe 6 weeks, probably a little bit less. Anyway, around 6 weeks. And this is how obsessed with her that he was, that after 6 weeks of dating, which is nothing, he still acted like this. He was out of control.
Well, he's just mad because she broke up with him and she like took away the control. So yeah. He's trying to like regain the control, it seems like. So on Wednesday, October 25th, 2023, around 7 p.m., Lily was in the bathroom at the St. Andrew's School. She was getting dressed as she just finished coaching water polo and she was preparing for a game of her own. Paul entered the school armed with a hammer. He can be seen on CCTV entering the same bathroom facility as Lily. He brutally attacked her. An autopsy would show that she was struck in the head and neck at least 25 times. When her body was found, her hair was so bloodied that authorities believed that she had black hair. She has light-colored hair, just to be clear. Paul stayed in the bathroom for 1 hour and 12 minutes. He then left the school and drove his rental car to Diamond Bay.
So obviously Sydney is a coastal city, so the kind of geography, was that the word? So the terrain is very cliffy in some areas. Cliffy, I know, is not a very scientific word, but basically there are a lot of cliffs. I live on the coast. There's a ton of cliffs here. It's not like kind of a lot of places the ocean just meets the earth. There's a lot of steep drop-offs. In terms of the area, it says Diamond Bay Reserve is a beautiful clifftop reserve and popular attraction known for its dramatic clifftop walk with panoramic views of the ocean and coastline. So there are many areas in that location, Vaucluse, like there's the gap at, the gap is at Watson's Bay, which is another, some people call it like a beauty spot where you can go up and take photos, but it is also a very well-known place where people go to take their lives just because of the height. Fall will very likely kill you straight away.
So he arrived in that area around 8:47 p.m. He disposed of the hammer in a bin, and around this time, he transferred $9,100 to both of his flatmates with the notation 6 months' rent. At 11:15 p.m., he got out of his car and walked to the reserve with a backpack over his shoulder, and 33 minutes later, he called 000. Paul was described as being calm, almost emotionless during the call. And 000, for those who don't know, is just like 911, but yeah. In Australia.
Yeah, our 911 equivalent.
He told the operator where Lily could be found at the school. He said, "When you go into the sports area, which is when you enter the school through the reception on the left, and the bathroom's then on the right in the sports area, it's the first door on the right." At one point, the operator asked him when he was at the school. He said, "I don't remember." When they asked his name, he said, "I'd rather not disclose." Before he ended the call, Paul said, "I think someone should just go there before people arrive in the morning. Thank you." He returned to his car where he sat for 10 minutes before getting and going into the reserve where he killed himself by jumping from the cliff. CCTV showed police arriving at the scene at 12:02 a.m., just 3 minutes after Paul got out of his car and walked off, never to be seen alive again. Police found some of Paul's belongings at the reserve. Scattered among some of his clothes in a backpack was a handwritten set of vouchers, which had been affectionately given to him by Freya 2 years earlier. The booklet that Freya had made for their anniversary was also found. Interesting to keep on you.
Yeah. I think it just shows how much he hung on to these relationships.
Yeah. You know,
and resentful is the word. Like, he resented Freya for breaking
obsessive,
up with him.
Obsessive, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did I put the clothes in the dryer? I hope they don't think I was serious.
I need to be
about
awake.
Snacks.
I have
my brain shut
just
off.
Sleep already.
When your racing thoughts keep you up at night, it's tough to let go and get the rest you need. Better sleep can help. You might have heard of white or brown noise. There's a whole rainbow of color noises, and they can help you calm your mind, reduce stress, and sleep better. Like the green noise you're listening to now. With the Better Sleep app, you can discover more color noises and over 200 soothing sounds, guided meditations, and bedtime stories. High-quality rest is vital to your mental well-being and physical health. Calm your restless mind, conquer your day, and sleep better at night. Download Better Sleep from the App Store or Google Play and start a 7-day trial today. Because when you sleep better, you feel better.
So after Paul called 911, police did go to St. Andrew's Cathedral School and they found Lily's body just before midnight. So this was right around the time that police arrived at the reserve also to look for Paul. They found her body around the same time. That morning at 4:30 a.m., the school emailed all parents and said that the facility would be closed for the rest of the week due to a critical incident. So obviously, I can't even imagine as a parent waking up and getting that message from the school, be like, what happened? What's going on? So
yeah.
A second text message was sent out at 6:30 a.m. and they reassured parents that no students were involved in this incident. Lily's body was identified by a friend of her family at around 10:30 a.m. that morning, and Paul was identified as being the main suspect at 11:40 a.m. So pretty quick turnaround, I guess. A lot of CCTV, which was helpful, but a pretty quick turnaround. On October 30th, 2023, it emerged that, we're jumping ahead a little bit, but just because this is part of the story, but it emerged that Paul had sent texts to Lily's father from her phone asking her to pick her up at the school. This was obviously after she was already deceased. A criminologist has speculated that Paul sent those messages either to ensure that Lily's body would be found or potentially alter the time at which police believe she had died to kind of get him away from the scene. Could have been either for either one of those reasons, but thankfully her father didn't go to the school. The police were the ones who found her. Paul's body ended up being found on a rock beneath the Diamond Bay Reserve at 8 a.m. on October 27th, 2023. He was identified using fingerprints. Lily's family made a statement on that day. They said she was vibrant, outgoing, and very much loved by her family and friends. We are tremendously grateful for the support of our community at this difficult time. As the police investigation is underway, we will not be providing further comments. So Lily's funeral was held at her former school, Danebank, on November 17th, 2023. So her father made this statement. Today we are celebrating the life of Lily James. This day is all about her. She was an independent, vibrant young woman who was always on the go and lived each day to the fullest. On top of working and studying, Lily loved coaching and playing water polo. She loved to dance. Even with her busy schedule, she always made time to support her brother Max, her friends, and her family. We cannot thank the community enough for their thoughts, prayers, generosity, and messages through this difficult time. From the bottom of our hearts, we thank you for the great memories we all share of Lily. Lily James, we are so proud of you and thank you for sharing a wonderful and jam-packed 21 and a half years together. So to the funeral, Lily's friends and family all wore bright colours and they carried flowers. There's a photo I found of her kind of memorial booklet. It says forever in our hearts and it's just got a beautiful photo of Lily with her birth and death dates. I've seen some photos from the funeral. It looks like a beautiful celebration of her life. So by this time, Paul's family had decided not to repatriate his body to the Netherlands. They had him cremated and scattered his ashes in Sydney. So we did know quite a lot at the time about Lily's death. We knew about that she'd been attacked by the hammer. they did hold an inquest this year in 2025, and we have learnt a lot more. I was going to hold off on this episode until the inquest kind of document was released, but they released a lot as it went on. So we will update once the document is released. Could be months away though. So we do have quite a lot of information from the inquest. Jennifer Single SC, she was the counsel assistant who like facilitated a lot of the inquest. She told the court that Paul's parents had told them that they had evidence about how his life had, quote, derailed in the 2 years preceding his death. His parents declined to provide the evidence to the court. They are now living back in the Netherlands and they didn't come out here for the inquest, which is their prerogative. There was no evidence that Paul suffered from any significant mental health condition or personality disorder, according to the court. Jennifer Single told the court the event which triggered an escalation in Paul's behaviour was Lily's decision to end the relationship, following which Paul started to stalk Lily and plan his attack. Jennifer said Lily's murder was calculated. She said the preparation was calculated. It was not a momentary loss of control. It was a premeditated killing. There was evidence that Paul had stalked Lily and rehearsed her murder, including by performing several dry runs. So this is what was told to the, this is what was reported at the inquest. It says, in the days after she broke up with him, the evidence indicates that Paul stalked Lily, Paul carefully planned his attack, and that in the hours before the attack, he rehearsed making a number of dry runs. The court was shown chilling and disturbing footage of Paul practicing multiple times, aggressively entering different bathrooms before selecting where he would stage his attack. He was shown lunging into two different bathrooms, exiting and trying again before deciding to attack Lily in a disabled bathroom at the school. He placed a cleaning in progress sign in front of one of the bathrooms so that Lily was forced into his preferred toilet, which is wild. Like you could, I'll put the footage on the blog too. It literally shows him kind of lunging in and out, going in, figuring out which one I guess was going to give him the most access to Lily, the easiest access. Absolutely. Yeah. No denial that this was premeditated.
Yeah, that's very crazy.
Jennifer told the inquest that police believe Paul had earlier in the day travelled back to his home and had picked up a hammer from his roommate's toolbox, and that that was the hammer he had used to kill Lily. He had also purchased a separate hammer from Mitre 10, which is a hardware store, in the days prior to the murder, but he didn't end up using it in his attack. So this also just shows that he definitely wanted to use a hammer. He bought one for whatever reason, decided that it wasn't the right one, and he went and got one from his roommate's toolbox. So a hammer, using a hammer is such a brutal way to murder anyone. So much overkill, just it would have been horrendous. Hopefully she was knocked out after the first blow, but it just shows the anger and resentment he had towards Lily that he chose that as the murder weapon.
Yeah, and just like all the plotting, like you said, it was really just obsessive and unhinged. Angry. Yeah.
It was also revealed that when Paul went to Vaucluse in the reserve, he also took Lily's phone. It's assumed that he threw both his and her phones over the cliff because they've never been recovered. The court was also shown CCTV of an argument that happened in the days before Lily's murder. The argument lasted for around 5 minutes, and Paul could be seen shoving Lily and cornering her aggressively. The court also said that Paul appeared stressed on the day following the argument. Lily was at a party and one of her exes was also at this party. Paul knew that, and Paul had been checking her location via Snapchat and seemed, quote, annoyed and sour that night. Lily spoke to her ex at the party and she said that she didn't feel safe with Paul and was a bit weirded out by him. Paul sat outside the party venue for over an hour until Lily came out and then he dropped her home. So again, like people are like, why would she get in the car with him? You know, she there's no way she would have ever expected this. He probably said, come on, I'll give you a lift home. And she'll be like, oh, okay, thanks. No, she probably wanted to stay on his good side, you know, not piss him off anymore, especially if she was a little bit creeped out by him, just trying to keep the peace, get along with him. But just for him to sit outside and wait for her is creepy.
Yeah, agreed.
The court also heard that Paul showed his friends an intimate photo that Lily had sent to him. He obviously showed it to them without her consent. And it's alleged that he did this in an attempt to reassert control and out of a sense of sexual entitlement to her. The inquest was told that Paul had a fragile sense of self. A forensic psychologist named Kate Seidler said that he felt inadequate and unworthy, and he covered that up by projecting an image of perfection, of having it all together. During the inquest, there was this weird kind of, again, creepy scenario that was brought up where Paul had created a Snapchat account in October 2023, so right before the murders and right around the time when Lily would break up with him. And he made the username on that account Maddie1999XX. So obviously Maddie is generally a girl's name. Records obtained by police showed that the account was linked to Paul and his phone number. The account was seemingly named after a girl who Paul had been also speaking to at the time. That day, he sent the girl a message asking if she wanted to meet the next day, and that girl had no idea that Paul was dating Lily at the time. The account came up for Lily as an account that she may know, like a suggested account. It was showed under the name Maddie, but it also showed a suggested contact of Paul because obviously it was linked to his phone number. She had his number saved. She could see that he was using this Maddie username. Lily confronted Paul about this account and she told a friend what had happened. Paul apparently told Lily, "I have a stalker. That is so weird. Made out like someone was trying to be him on Snapchat." That was his excuse. Lily told her friend, "I was convinced it was Paul and I had told him this," and Paul responded, "No, why would I do that?" So again, trying to deny it. Lily knew what was up. Paul denied it all.
I don't even know what to make of like that whole thing. It's very weird.
Yeah, like why, like if he was so obsessed with Lily, maybe he was trying to make her jealous? I don't know. Why was he trying to contact other women? It seems like a sloppy thing to do when he was pretty calculating, it seems. I just wonder what his motivation was for that. Probably to make her jealous and be like, look who I'm meeting up with, or something along those lines.
Yeah, it's just very weird.
So Paul later came back and told Lily that he had confronted the girl whose name was on the account. Paul told Lily that this girl apparently cried and said that she made the account to see what Lily looked like. So again, this is his reasoning apparently for making the account and what happened. And it's just a ridiculous story. The girl was interviewed by police after all of this and she said she had no knowledge of the Snapchat account. So it's just Paul being wild and crazy.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, we are still waiting for the results of the inquest to be made public and we will update you once they are released. The coronial document will likely be a very long document. I would assume it would be up to 100 pages, if not more. There's a lot to go through in terms of his behaviour in the weeks leading up to it. What we've done today is just picked out kind of the main discussion points, the main parts of the case that just show how calculating and cruel and obsessive Paul was. If this audio sounds a little bit funny, I came across this article after we recorded and I just wanted to include it because I think it gives a really great insight into the last day of Lily's life and we've learned a lot more about the dynamic and how unexpected this would have been. The article is from news.com.au. I'll link it on the blog if you want to read it. But in terms of Lily's last 24 hours, at 6:45 a.m., her father found her in the kitchen making some toast. She left the house at 7:10 a.m. to go to the St. Andrew's Cathedral School for work. She stopped to get petrol. Paul's roommates have said when they saw him that morning, his eyes were watering, he was sniffling, and it appeared as if he'd been crying. At 9 a.m. that day, Paul got a call from the school. At 9 a.m. that day, Paul got a call from the school's director of sport, who kind of gave him a dressing down. This happened after Paul approached a colleague requesting access to some sports statistics. This conversation really upset Paul. He messaged a colleague saying, "This stuff is way more upsetting than the Lily thing, and this is basically family I've hurt. I need to say it's because it's genuinely making me sick." So this seems to have really been weighing on his mind. He was due to work that night between 5 to 9pm. He texted two colleagues asking if they could work for him, and they both couldn't. At 9:30 a.m, he tried to call his parents. However, they didn't call up. They didn't answer because it was midnight in the Netherlands. His mother did attempt to call back, but he texted back saying it was a pocket dial and not to worry about it. We do know that the day of the murder, Lily and Paul were seen together at an outdoor table near the school. It says that Paul was staring at her very intently and was ice cold and angry, and Lily was seen to be crying. At 12:15 p.m. that day, Lily, Paul and a colleague left the school and walked to the Sydney Party Warehouse, where Lily and Paul both purchased Halloween costumes. At 1:42 p.m, Paul was seen on CCTV exiting the school and he went to the car park where Lily's car was parked. He then went back to the school. They did meet up again that afternoon. They went shopping at Priceline, which is kind of like a drugstore, CVS type thing. Lily was said to be smiling and relaxed. She had to coach a water polo match at Auburn, which is another suburb in Sydney, that afternoon. And she also had a match that evening, which is the one that we described where Paul put the signs up so she would have to go into the cubicle after the match. At around 3:30, Paul left the school, which caused confusion amongst a colleague because he was meant to do the late shift, but he said he had forgotten his shirt. So he went to took the light rail, which is the tram, to Kensington near his house in Sydney. He got back into his rental car at 4:10 and drove back to St. Andrew's Cathedral. It's believed that this is the point where Paul actually got the hammer that he would use to murder Lily. So then that is kind of when what we've already discussed happens. Paul went into the bathroom cubicles, practiced what he would do to attack Lily, put the cleaning sign up in front of the cubicle so that she would have to go into the one that he wanted to. We did also learn a little bit more about the texts that Paul sent to Lily's dad from Lily's phone. There's a screenshot, I'll pop it on the blog. But Lily, as in Paul, sent the dad a message and said, "Don't ask why or call. Please come to the school now and pick me up." Her dad wrote, "Are you okay? All good, just came trouble." Then the dad keeps writing back, "Can you please pick up? Where are you? I'm here." So he went to the school and obviously he didn't know where Lily was and he couldn't find her, which is thankful. So the rest of the day we've already gone through in terms of Paul attacking Lily, going to Diamond Bay Reserve, but I just feel like this was an interesting article to add in and it gives us a bit more of an idea of their relationship at the time. Lily and Paul fought the day that she was murdered, but then they still seemed to be friendly enough to go shopping together that afternoon. As I mentioned, we are waiting for the rest of the inquest document to be released. And as soon as that is made public, we will post it on the blog and post on all our Instagram stories. So a lot of articles about this case discuss coercive control in relation to it. Coercive control is when someone uses a pattern of abusive behaviors to take away someone else's freedom and independence and to also make them feel afraid. People who use coercive control use many different abusive behaviors to maintain power and control. There are some studies that suggest coercive control occurs in up to 58% of intimate partner violence relationships. There is a really good article from The Guardian, which I found, and it speaks about coercive control in regards to Lily's case. I'll just read out some of that article and I'll link it on the blog if you'd like to read the whole thing. It says, Paul hated Lily. He hated that she had rejected him, that he could not control her, that she threatened the perfectly curated image of himself he wanted to project. And so he killed her with a hammer in the bathroom of the sports center of St. Andrew's Cathedral School where they both worked. He stepped through his meticulous, brutal plan calmly, never appearing frazzled or manic. She was only 21 years old. What emerged at the inquest was a disturbing portrait of contemporary coercive control, of fragile masculinity turned violent, and of the ways abusive relationships can remain hidden. It says that Paul covered up his sense of inadequacy by projecting an image of perfection and having it all together and in being the great guy that was competent in everything. Paul had, in the assessment of a clinical and forensic psychologist, made the decision to kill Lily in the face of his collapsing facade. She said that Paul was afraid Lily would challenge his framing of their breakup and believed that the only way he could reestablish control was to kill her. Another forensic psychiatrist named Dr. Denny Sullivan said Lily was setting the narrative in deciding to end the relationship. He said she was stating what she wanted and didn't want. I think deep inside he was very wounded, potentially humiliated that he was not attractive enough to her. Both of these psychiatrists said his behavior was coercive, which was a view supported by the director of the Monash Gender and Family Violence Prevention Center, a woman named Kate Fitzgibbon. Kate also said that Paul's use of social media was an example of technology-facilitated abuse. She said monitoring through a range of different platforms, including different social media products, is a well-recognized form of digital coercive control. So I feel like this is an issue that is rapidly increasing when people can, you know, like with apps like Life360, Snapchat location, all that type of thing. There are different ways that people can try to control the narrative, try to control the relationship or their partner, keep tabs on where they are. It's a scary kind of trend, which is an interesting discussion.
Yeah, I think it's all spot on. Obviously, they're experts, so they would know, but I totally agree that like his ego was wounded. He couldn't take not being able to control the narrative, having her control the narrative, not being in charge. And I think that like we said in some of the other cases we mentioned as well, then that's what happens. It like leads to murder. And it is something that you hear a lot in true crime stories, unfortunately, even just like the in domestic violence situations that eventually lead to murder, just the intimidation to try to control usually the woman in the relationship who's trying to leave, just making them so scared that they don't feel like they have the choice to control the narrative. And I think that's a lot of like what he was doing on social media, how he was stalking her, taking pictures outside of her house. Like, it's all just a way to try to keep control.
Did I put the clothes in the dryer? I hope they don't think I was serious.
I need to be
awake.
Next, I have my brain shut off.
Just sleep already.
When your racing thoughts keep you up at night, it's tough to let go and get the rest you need. Better sleep can help. You might have heard of white or brown noise. There's a whole rainbow of color noises, and they can help you calm your mind, reduce stress, and sleep better. Like the green noise you're listening to now. With the Better Sleep app, you can discover more color noises and over 200 soothing sounds, guided meditations, and bedtime stories. High quality rest is vital to your mental well-being and physical health. Calm your restless mind, conquer your day, and sleep better at night. Download Better Sleep from the App Store or Google Play and start a 7-day trial today. Because when you sleep better, you feel better.
I do wonder if in this case it escalated to murder because they were co-workers. Lily seems like a very strong, independent woman. She would have no qualms in telling people, hey, I broke up with him because he was a creep or whatever her reasoning was. And maybe he was worried that their co-workers would think less of him. Like, whereas if it was just kind of a separate relationship where they'd met on, you know, Tinder or somewhere else, there wouldn't be as many people involved that knew both of them. So maybe for him, that's when that psychologist or psychiatrist went on to say that they were worried that he wouldn't be able to control the narrative anymore and that it says he was potentially humiliated. So I do feel like that could have played a part in why this did escalate because he couldn't really separate totally from Lily. They worked together. They knew the same people.
Everyone's going to know.
Yeah, everyone's going to know that she thinks I'm not good enough or whatever the reasoning was. So maybe that's why it escalated as quickly as it did because essentially they'd only been broken up for a few days before the murder happened. They'd only been dating for a few weeks anyway. It just seems like this was a rapid escalation. I would love to know more about how his life derailed in the past 2 years, but his parents obviously declined to give much evidence or any evidence on that. It does sound like from his relationship with Freya that he was becoming increasingly unstable and acting irrationally. So even we can see his decline when we talked about his relationship with Freya, going to her house, stalking her, sending her unwanted Uber Eats presents when he wasn't even in the country. It's like it was becoming increasingly unhinged. And in the end, it did seem to escalate very, very quickly. Obviously, like I know we mentioned that they only dated for a short amount of time. He didn't know Lily a super long time, but for just all this to happen in the period of 6 weeks shows a massive escalation in his out of control behavior.
Yeah, it's like he can't believe that someone didn't want him.
And I also think that this is a good reminder I guess we always speak about online safety, you know, check your settings. Who can see your location? Do they need to see your location? Do you want them to see your location? Like, you know, those type of things. It's a good reminder just to double check. Cause sometimes I feel like you just turn things on. You don't ever go back and think about it, but it's a dangerous and scary thought to know that people can know where you are 24 hours a day. And sometimes you may not even be aware.
Yeah. One thing cool about Google, because I don't have an iPhone, I have a Pixel, so I could share my location on Google Maps with people who I want to. So I share it with my husband, obviously, just because I'm like, I just want him to know where I am in case something happens. As you know, I read a lot of true crime stories. But it does email me like every month or every so often. It's like, just a reminder, you're sharing your location with X, Y, and Z. Like, do you still want to be doing that? Because it's true, you can just kind of forget that, like, after such a long time that you share your location with certain people.
Yeah.
But sad. I don't think Lily could have done anything differently. Like, she seemed like she stood up for herself. She was confident. She ended the relationship and she was just going about her daily life.
Yeah. she owed him nothing. Like, even as I mentioned many times, they were only dating for a few weeks. He asked her if she wanted to be friends with benefits. She clearly said no. She wanted, it seems like she wanted to cut it off, put an end to it, and he just didn't want to have that. He couldn't have her, so no one was going to have her. I feel like it's just a story we've told so many times. This one is just especially cruel and calculated, like rehearsing it in the bathroom multiple times.
Yeah, crazy.
Putting the clean-in sign up so she had to go into the cubicle that he wanted. It's, yeah, insane.
Yeah, very planned, clearly. Mm-hmm. So that's really it for this episode. A very sad, all too common story, unfortunately, in our society. Everything will be on the blog at truecrimesocietyblog.com, as always. Make sure you're following us on Instagram. We're always posting the latest stories and news articles and updates there at True Crime Society on Instagram. If you want to see what we're up to, my Instagram is stephsum_, Olivia's TCS Olivia. You can check us out on there. And we have a Patreon, so you can get all the episodes ad-free on Patreon. We also do an extra episode every week, so you'd get two episodes a week. Like we just recorded about, what did we record about? My brain is not working. Matthew Weaver. We just recorded about a missing man named Matthew Weaver. So if you are interested in more content from us, check us out over there. We also have like a book club chat, lots going on. Otherwise, all the usual stuff. If you guys can leave us some nice Spotify comments, share to your Instagram stories what you guys are up to while you're listening to the podcast. We love resharing them. Nice comments, nice reviews, all that. Make sure you're still following or subscribed or whatever on whatever platform you listen to, because sometimes you get unsubscribed by them for whatever reason.
Yeah.
That's it. So thank you guys for listening. Stay safe out there. Peace out.
See ya.